You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
We see through Scripture that Jesus is known by many names: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Alpha and the Omega, Beginning and the End, the Lamb of God. There are more things as you read through the New Testament. You see these different, and even the Old Testament, you see different names that were given to Jesus. But this morning, I want to pause, and as we look at He is Jesus, as we look at this name, I want to look a little deeper at this name, and I want to point out something that we find by looking at the name Jesus. We find this word that I'm going to bring up, it's hope. We find hope in Jesus. And hope can be a very powerful, powerful word. When you look at hope, when you look at this word, and you think about hope, you can endure great stress because of hope. You can look past hard situations because of the word hope. Without hope, you can get to a place where you would crumble and lose vision. So what is hope? What does it mean? What's the definition? Well, I looked it up, the definition. It says hope is the state which promotes the belief in an outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life. Despair is often the opposite of hope. Hope is to expect with confidence. Despair is to lose that hope and to expect nothing. And we've talked about this in church. But today is a big day in the church world, as all across the world, as we celebrate, at least the Christian church, we celebrate Easter. But for a lot of people in the world today, when they wake up on Easter Sunday, Easter has a totally different meaning for them, right? It means the Easter bunny, maybe Easter baskets, Easter egg hunts, getting together with family, maybe going to church, but going home and eating more candy and chocolate, hunting for those hidden eggs, and all good things. I mean, they're not bad to go hunt for eggs and all that stuff. Eat chocolate. Chocolate is good. But a lot of people in the world today miss the meaning of Easter, and they don't have the meaning behind what this is. It's more than just Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. See, without hope, without Jesus, there's a lack of hope in their lives in the world today. But for those who put their hope in their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ, the future looks brighter. The future looks much different. And to those who have no Redeemer, situations and circumstances can rob us of our hope. So the question comes, why do those of us who are Christians have that hope? Because the reality is, I mentioned it today, if you follow Jesus, if you know Jesus, today is a huge day in the calendar, right? Today is a big, big day. I mean, you think about it. Christianity, those who follow Jesus, we tie everything back to an event that happened over 2,000 years ago, right? 2,000 years ago, a handful of people began to follow this man that had these teachings. They watched him die on a cross, and they went on this day to visit him in his tomb. They went to the tomb. And what they found in the tomb was that it was no longer closed, no longer sealed up. There was no longer a body, but the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. And these people that followed this man Jesus, that watched him die just days earlier, went to his tomb to find no one there. That the body was gone. That it was empty. And here's the deal. Here's a big idea I want you to understand this morning. The empty tomb changes everything. The empty tomb changes everything. The cross played a huge part, but the empty tomb changed everything this morning. And the news that morning that we saw wasn't just about the tomb being empty, okay? It wasn't just about where Jesus wasn't on that morning. It was also about where he was. You understand? Why is that? Well, look, Jesus, when they went down there to look for him in the tomb, he wasn't there. He began to appear to different people that day. He began to appear alive, and the news began to spread. And the news that he was given to them was incredible. For example, and we're going to get into a little more depth, but he appeared to a woman named Mary and told her, hey, you don't have to fear anymore. Because what I've done, you don't have to live in fear anymore. He appeared to his disciple named Peter and said, hey, I know you're carrying around a lot of guilt and shame and you've messed up, but you don't have to carry that around anymore. I know you messed up and you've done things you regret, but you don't have to carry that anymore because I'm here. I'll take care of that. He went to another disciple named Thomas who was just wrestling with a lot of doubt about all the stuff around him. And he said, look, I'm here. You don't have to doubt anymore. Because of what I've done, you can have joy, you can have hope, you can have faith. And he goes to his disciples as a whole and begins to reveal that because of what I've done, because I'm here, you have a reason to ultimately to just live life. And we know that they had a reason to ultimately die as well. This hope that he had, that he brought, supersedes all of life, supersedes all of death. It was all about that tomb that changed everything. If you look back at famous world religions and their leaders, even go back into the Old Testament to the Jewish leaders, Father Abraham had many sons, right? Many sons had Father Abraham, but he died 1900 BC. Buddha died in 483 BC. Muhammad died in 632 AD. Jesus died around 33 AD, but then came back to life and appeared to 500 and so witnesses. The tomb, the empty tomb changes everything. The empty tomb changes everything. See, it wasn't just the fact that the tomb was empty that morning. It wasn't just that Jesus wasn't there. It's all about that he, instead of being in the tomb, Jesus was everywhere else. That's what matters. And not just then, but we believe as a church that even today, Jesus, his presence, God is here. And we believe he moves in unique ways. We believe he can still offer a hope. He can still bring brand new grace today. He can provide forgiveness to those that seek it. He can give new purpose to people today. We believe. It's not just that Jesus wasn't there. It's that he's here. He's everywhere. Here's what we do often in church world, behind the curtain. Easter comes up. It's like the Super Bowl. We try to complicate this thing so much. We try to look at what are we going to do? How are we going to present? What are we going to do? And we do production. And we do great things. We sound great. But we put so much pressure on ourselves to say the right thing and do the right thing. I told you, I already messed up twice. Today, can we just move back? And we're going to look at some scripture. We're going to look at some simple scripture. And look at the hope that comes because he is Jesus. The hope that we can have, not because the tomb is empty, but that it's empty and he's here. He's here. So let's look at some scripture together. On this Easter, I want to show you that Jesus is the hope that some of you are looking for when you came in today. You're struggling with some different things and you're wondering and you're searching. And I'm going to show you that this is the hope you've been looking for. John 20, there it is on the screen. John 20 is where we're going to be. You can follow along in your notes with me. Look at this. Verse 1. Before the sun had risen on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene made a trip to the tomb where his body was laid to rest. Talking about Jesus. I just mentioned all this. Mary Magdalene was going to the tomb. In the darkness, she discovered the covering had been rolled away. She darted out of the garden to find Simon Peter and the dearly loved disciple to deliver this startling news. A couple things. I like how John writes and calls himself the dearly beloved disciple. Dearly loved, okay? I mean, he does it a couple of times you read. That's pretty awesome. He had that prerogative. He got to do it. Anyway, but second, I want to point out, before we read any further, why was this considered startling news? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Why was this such a big deal? Why? Because I'm looking back now. We have the whole scripture to read through. We can read the teachings of Jesus. Jesus taught about what was going to happen to him. He predicted everything that was going to happen to him. He taught his disciples and the people around him everything that would happen. Why? So they would believe he was who he said he was. I mean, he did it all. You can look back. He started talking about. But the reality was there was no one at the tomb that morning with a countdown, right? Okay, I know he's coming. 10, you know, 3, 2... What? Light the fireworks. They weren't looking for something like this, were they? They weren't in the garden waiting for the exact moment that Jesus walked out. Let's keep going. Mary Magdalene says, they have taken the body of our Lord and we cannot find him. Verse 6, drop down. When Simon Peter finally arrived, he went into the tomb and observed the same. The cloth that covered his face appeared to have been folded carefully and placed not with the linen cloths, but to the side. After Peter pointed this out, the other disciple, and remember, look at this. This is pretty cool too. Who had arrived long before Peter. By the way, I'm better than him. Anyway, also entered the tomb, and based on what he saw, watch this. Based on what he saw, faith began to well up inside him. Or you see in scripture, he believed. Based on what he saw, he believed. My prayer today is very simple. That as we look at the name Jesus, as we study the name Jesus and what happened that first Easter, that God would come and do what only God can do. That inside you, you would discover a new hope, a new faith that will begin to well up inside of you. That things will begin to change. That you would see that the tomb is empty. That the tomb is empty. And that faith would well up inside you. How do I know it's possible that this can happen? How do I know it's possible that you this morning can have a new hope inside of you? How do I know that despite all the issues that you brought in with you, all of the junk, all the pain that you brought in with you today, all the issues, how, Mark, can you... How can you know that I can be delivered, that I can have new hope today? I know because Easter changed everything. The empty tomb changed everything. And when you begin to understand and see this miracle that happened on this first Easter and how it impacts our lives, it will completely change the way that you live today. Let's go. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Go down to verse 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped, and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. Look at this last part. It was Jesus, but what? She did not, what? She did not recognize him. That's another interesting part of the story. She sees Jesus standing there, but doesn't recognize him. And in my mind, I go to this question, why is it that Mary doesn't recognize Jesus? And I thought later, why is it that Jesus travels with some of his other disciples for like 7 miles and they do not recognize who he is? And so I started looking through, I have like all these commentaries, and I've been blessed to have all these books and different things. So I started digging in and seeing what these guys would say. And I also used the commentary called Google to see what it would say. Some of you have that one. But I started looking through, and there, honestly, you would be surprised at how many different explanations there are at why Mary did not recognize Jesus when she turned around to look at him. And okay, so I'm going to tell you something that these are real things that I read this week, why she didn't recognize. A lot of them said that she was weeping so much. She had been crying all night. She'd been weeping in that morning, and she turned around. Her eyes were full of tears, and there's no way that she could have recognized Jesus because her eyes, you know, when you're that emotional, that she could not recognize who Jesus was. She couldn't recognize anything. There was one commentary that said he was standing too far away. Obviously, he's standing so far away that she couldn't recognize who he is. And that he's standing. There was one, obviously, we read that it was early in the morning. It was too dark. The darkness was there. The sun hadn't come up. The sun hadn't come up yet. And so she couldn't see a face. She couldn't see who was standing in front of her. Then right after that, I read right after that it was too dark. One other commentary said there was a beam of sunlight that was shining right over Jesus' shoulder, right into her face. She couldn't see him. I'm like, where does the scripture say that? That's somewhere in the Greek. But it's like there was a beam of light that was shining right in her face. Another one said he was standing next to a wall in the shadows and you couldn't see who it was. As you can see, there's a lot of different opinions, right? Explanations as to why Mary didn't recognize Jesus when she saw him at the tomb. Let me ask you a question before we go any further. How many of you here this morning would say, you know that you are colorblind in some way? There's lots of different versions of colorblind. It's not embarrassing. I'm just curious. Nobody? Okay. One? Okay. Anybody else? Because the statistics say there's one out of every 12 guys are colorblind. Okay. There's a lot of guys in here. One out of every 200 women have some form of colorblindness in their life. It's very common, right? It's a very common thing, color blindness, this issue of not being able to see the right colors. And there's different versions. I talked with Crystal, my wife, this week, and she was talking about this is, you know, she knows all the reasons because I thought I was smart. I went to the commentary Google again, and I started looking it up, you know, why someone faces color blindness and why men have a better chance of being colorblind than women. It's in the X chromosome, okay? Those of you didn't know, guys have one. Ladies, you have two. And so when the ladies have two and one of them's defective, the other one takes the, you know, takes up the, there you go. It takes the place of the other one, but guys only have one. So if it's defective, then this is the very scientific language I'm going to use for you. It's like we're colorblind, right? Men only have one. And there's not a cure for color blindness, although you can see now there's been like different lenses. If you have a certain kind of color blindness that you can put these glasses on and you can start seeing colors again, right? There's been all through the Facebook. I see the stories of people that see color for the first time and different things like that. But they're in fact different types. So I thought, what can we do? But let's take a test and see where we are. You ready? Let's see. There's tests you can take to see if you're colorblind. So I have some slides on the screen, and you got to see if you can see the number in there first. Some of you are going to be like, uh-oh. 6, right? Okay, so that one's 6. Let's go to the next one. Ah, that was pretty easy, wasn't it? Okay, some of you are like, I can't see it. All right, there's a number there? All right, next one. 57. 35. 57. Yeah, it is. I'm colorblind. I'm not colorblind. I just can't see that far. It's like, they could tell me. Let's go to the next one. We're going to argue that one. That's a good year. Yeah, okay. Is there any more? Okay, so now let me show you some pictures, some examples of what it looks like, the difference. On the left, it would be someone looking through some sort of color blindness. On the right is what the picture actually looks like. You see the big difference there. Like the colors of the fall leaves are missing. I think we have another one. Like the left is normal and the right obviously is colorblind. It's amazing the difference you see in the colors. All right, there's the protest. So people that are colorblind have a hard time at the grocery store, right? I mean, seeing the different colors of everything. All right, is that all of them, or is there another one? That's all. All right. So the big question, right? Colorblindness. We have these issues. But back to my point. Why did Mary not recognize Jesus? Why is it that she didn't see? Could it be a reason that she didn't recognize Jesus that morning is the same reason that a lot of us in this room don't recognize Jesus in the everyday moments of our lives. And it comes down to this. She didn't recognize Jesus because she wasn't looking for him. She wasn't looking for him where he was. I did read one other commentator that said she had her eyes in the tomb still. She wasn't looking for Jesus standing alive behind her. She wasn't looking for him there. She wasn't looking for him to be alive. And here's the reality for a lot of us here today, especially for those of us that follow Jesus and call ourselves Christians. When we go through life, we can easily get to this point where we find ourselves spiritually colorblind. That we stop seeing the hope. We stop seeing the life. We stop seeing the things around us because we have this spiritual color blindness. We stop seeing Jesus for who he is. Why? Because we stop looking for him in our everyday lives. We stop looking for him. We stop recognizing him in our everyday lives. For example, some of you say, I've been married for 30 years, 40 years. I don't need to look for Jesus in my marriage anymore. I've decided my marriage is what it is. I don't need to look for Jesus there anymore. Some of you have worked at the same job for so long that you no longer look for Jesus in your job. You don't look for him anymore. Because I just go do the same thing every day. I go do the same things all the time. I don't look for Jesus. So some of you and your kids are older now, and you stop looking for Jesus in your family, in your family life. I don't even look for Jesus in the middle of all my problems, my issues, my situations anymore. And I start to go numb, if I'm not careful, with this spiritual color blindness. And I miss the hope that Jesus brings, because the tomb, the empty tomb, changes everything. It wasn't that Jesus was gone from there. It's because he is here. And we begin to miss him in the everyday aspects of our lives. So what causes the spiritual colorblindness in our lives? Man, for a lot of us, it's guilt and shame. Our past continues to haunt us, and we can't let it go, and it blinds us, and we miss the hope in everyday lives. For some of us, it's fear. It's the what if question. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And we become paralyzed because we miss the hope that Jesus brings because he's here. A lot of you, circumstances causes spiritual color blindness. It's the problems that you're facing. They're so big. And there are some of you here even this morning, you feel numb and you even feel dead inside because it just happened to you. The life is gone. The life is gone. This is Easter and people were celebrating. You're like, I wish I could celebrate like those people. I wish I could be excited about life like those people are. I wish. The color is gone. The hope is gone. And I'm here to tell you that the message of Easter, he is Jesus. Because his name is Jesus, there is hope today. Jesus is alive today. The resurrection has come today. There is new life available today. But before, listen, you can step into this new life that God has for us, we need to understand what it means to us to have a Jesus who's not dead in the tomb anymore, but is alive today. So this morning, very quickly, I'm going to show you two things that will help you understand the hope that can be found through Jesus and Easter. Two things that will help you combat the spiritual colorblindness that so easily can come and attack you in your life. Two things that will help you move into the resurrection that you need this morning in your life. Because some of you, honestly, you're like, I need a resurrection too. I need a new life today too. The first thing in your notes, you can write this down. Because there's hope at Easter means there is forgiveness for your past. There is forgiveness for your past. That's number one. Some of you, listen, some of you need this idea so, so badly. Your past and your failures are consuming you right now. They're consuming who you are right now. You can't get past it. For example, you would sit here and say, there may have been an integrity failure in your life, and you are haunted by this lack of integrity that happened in your life. There was a parenting failure in your life. You can't get past the failure. You can't get past what you did. A job failure. Maybe it's a school, something you did at school. Maybe it's a relationship failure. Maybe it was a moral failure, emotional failure. Maybe it's an addiction failure. Whatever it is, your past is holding on to you and you can't move forward. And I'm here to tell you that because he is Jesus, there is hope today. Jesus wants to meet you right where you are this morning, sitting right there. You see, nothing you've done is beyond God's ability to forgive you this morning. Here's something exciting that I want you to know. It was the plan of God for Jesus to bridge the gap between God and man. You see, sin broke that gap. It messed it up. We had a broken relationship with God. But it was the plan of God for Jesus to bridge the gap between God and man, to bring hope to a dying world. He wants that relationship with you. You see, through the resurrection, because Jesus is no longer in the tomb and he's everywhere else, we can have resurrection in our own life. See, Jesus defeated the penalty of sin and death in our lives. And I understand sometimes this is very hard to grasp. We believe, sitting here this morning, that we are the exception to what you read. I am the one that God can't reach. I'm here to tell you it's not the case. It's not the case. My sister has three boys. And I thought, what better way? She's not here. I can talk about her kids. I always talk about my kids. Let me talk about hers. She has three boys. George, Alistair, and Winston. And they were just back here over Christmas, and so we got to spend a lot of time with them. And Winston is the youngest, although he's pretty big. He's the youngest, and he wasn't walking when he was here. He wasn't walking. And so he would do this funny thing, right? And to get around, he didn't crawl. I'm not going to get down and do it, but he wouldn't crawl like normal. He would sit on his rear end and, like, scooch all around. Like he would get down and like scoot, did like this little scoot everywhere. That's how he would move, right? He wouldn't walk. He decided he didn't want to. He would just sit down on his rear end and start scooching around. I wish I could do it. That's a little weird. It's on video. But so I remember towards the end of when they were here, and he was starting to take a step or two. Right? He was taking some steps. And what, many of you parents, if you're a parent here today, you remember when your kids took their steps and you were teaching them to walk, and you would be like cheered, when he'd take a step. And so when Winston would take a step, we were like, yeah. And he'd like, boom, he'd fall down and start scooting again everywhere. But like, he took a step. And like, we're videotaping, my sister's videotaping the steps and blah, blah, blah. But he left. He wasn't walking yet. He wasn't completely walking. So then my parents get a video from my sister, and it's a picture of Winston just walking everywhere, going around, and it's like cheering, yay, Winston, you rule, right? Yeah. Why? Because we were excited for the steps. I can remember when my kids were walking, when they were first taking their steps, we would celebrate the steps. It wasn't like we would videotape all the falls. Oh, they fell again. This kid's never going to walk, It wasn't like I looked at Alexis and Kaden and like, dude, it's not that hard to walk. I'm doing it every day. Get it together. It's not, my sister didn't do that with Winston, And she's like, oh, great. He's falling again, going back to the scoot thing, Wait, we celebrate the steps, didn't we? And if you're a parent, you remember that. You remember celebrating the steps and moving forward. And you forgot about the falls. You don't remember the falls. And what happened? A lot of times they would start walking and they would fall down, right? And they may get scraped up. They may get hurt. And they come crying to you as a parent, and you pick them up. You dust them off. It depends on which order they are on the kids, what you do with them, if you take them to the emergency room or if you just like spit on it, So if you're like the sixth kid, you're probably getting nothing. So first kid, you're at the hospital every day. But anyway. So you pick them up and you just like love on them. You fix their scrape and you send them back out to start running around again, start walking, right? We focused on the steps. I mean, as parents, we didn't focus on the falls. If you did, that's weird, We can talk about it later. But here's what some of you need to realize today. God is here to celebrate your steps and to heal your falls. He's here to celebrate your steps and heal your falls. Because of the resurrection, because he is Jesus, God never gets tired of watching you take steps in his grace, and he will always be there to help you heal from your falls. He's there. That can be incredibly hard. I understand the pushback. That can be incredibly hard to believe sometimes. We tend to believe and think that God will only like a future version of ourselves, right? When I'm cleaned up, when I've got everything together, when I have in the future made things right, then God will accept me. We have this idea that there are limits to the times that God will pick us up from our falls. But there's no limit to how many times God will pick you up. You can look around and talk to people in this room. They will tell you there's no limits. He has never loved you as much as he loves you right now. Romans 5:8, this is one of my favorite verses, right? God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. It didn't say while we were perfect and made ourselves look good, when we got our act together, when we took our steps and didn't fall, when we could take three steps before we fall. It says, no. While we were still sinners, Christ died. See, I found that the moment you attach strings to grace, it ceases to be grace. So understand that none of us here can live a perfect life, but Jesus did. He is Jesus. So when Jesus went to the cross, he died a spiritual death and paid a moral price that none of us in this room could do. So now this gift of salvation, this gift of forgiveness, this gift of mercy, this gift of hope is something that we can receive today. It's something that we can know. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. Why? Because the tomb changed everything. Because he wasn't there anymore. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. So understand that because of the hope we find in Christ, in Easter that we see, there is forgiveness for your past. Number two, the second thing. Because there is hope at Easter means there is hope for your future. Hope for your future. Look back at me with me in John chapter 20. Let's go down to verse 19, okay? And I want to show you what's happening at the end of that first Easter day, okay? At the end of that first Easter day, John chapter 20, verse 19, look it on the screens or in your Bibles or your notes. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, I stopped there. What were they doing? They were locked inside a room behind walls. Why? They were afraid that the Jewish leaders were going to come and blame them for the missing body of Jesus. They were scared. So they all got together and they literally locked themselves in a room with walls, right? Behind closed doors. For what purpose? So they could be safe. They were hiding behind walls. They're hiding. Fear comes. And it helps us build walls. Come here, Michael. Help me with this. That's what fear does. Fear comes and builds walls. And I have some examples here. If you've been to El Salvador with us, you recognize, well, they weren't red, but this is what you do in El Salvador. You lay block. You build walls. That's what we do everywhere we go in El Salvador. And the deal is, how many walls can we build? How many more walls than they ask us to build can we build? But that's what it is. But what happens with fear, right? We begin to build walls. Build walls. If you are scared of outside, what do? You stay inside. If you're scared of heights, you stay down low, right? If you're scared of people, you tend to be alone all the time. If you're scared of failure, you don't even try. We build walls in our lives. We build up walls with the bricks in our lives often. Now, these guys that we just read, the disciples, they were literally behind walls that were built because they were scared. They were scared. They were scared of what was going to happen. But our walls, a lot of times, are guilt. It's shame. It can be anger. It can be a failure. But we have all these things, and we'll continually build up the walls around us. Well, that's kind of foolish, Mark. It's not a literal wall. I mean, it's a small thing. I mean, people are scared of some stuff, and I understand. Fear is an emotion, and it's things we need to deal with. Sometimes it's important because it saves us from danger. But often, fear will come and begin to rob us of who we are. It begin to rob us of who we are and what we do. The walls begin to be built. Fear comes and builds the walls and establishes limits in what we can do. It begins to stop us and keep us from what we need to be, where we need to be. Why? Because we're scared. Look at verse 19 and 20. Let's keep reading. What happened? You could go to El Salvador. You're a good guy. Next time we go, you're on it, man. Actually, the foreman may come and tell you this was crooked. But look at verses 19 and 20 again. Let's keep going. They're hiding behind their walls, right? The walls, literal walls in this case. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side and said, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. As you read through the different biblical accounts of this right here, it looks as though that Jesus came and actually showed up in the room, just like walked through the wall. They thought they were safe. You see, I'm here to tell you, guys, this is what he does in our lives. This is what he can do. The walls that we build up that we think are protecting us, that keep us from where we want to go. Jesus can come and walk through the walls that we built up through fear, through guilt, through shame, through addiction, through failure. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But Jesus can come and show up on the other side of the wall with you and say the words, "Peace. Peace. I give you peace. I give you peace today. Why? Because the tomb, you see, it changes everything. It's empty. And it's not about that Jesus wasn't there. It's that he's everywhere else. He can walk through the walls that you built up in your life. He's the one. And announce peace. You see, we try, though. I know. Look, we try to bring the peace by a lot of different stuff, but it doesn't work, does it? Jesus comes and brings peace, and that gives us hope. See, Christ came. He died for the redemption of your sins. He came and he died. And no matter what the turmoil is, no matter what the wall looks like in your life, he can walk through and announce peace. Today. And that hope that comes changes everything. And some of you are here this morning and you're honestly thinking, you're sitting here and you feel the tug inside. You know, maybe some of you don't even understand what that means, but you feel a tug inside. And I'm here to tell you that there is a resurrected life for you here today. There is something brand new for you here today. There is resurrection power available in your life today. Why? Because the tomb is empty. It changed everything. And it's not because Jesus is not there. It's because he's here to announce peace and bring a resurrected life to you today.
Ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God is robbed the
Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. See, the empty tomb offers hope this morning. The hope that Jesus Christ, it's in Him. It's a transformation. It's in Him. It's the resurrecting King that's come and is resurrecting me. Some of you need that hope this morning. Some of you need that hope this morning of that resurrected King resurrecting you. Did you know that we also see how deep this love is that Jesus has for us, and what He did for us was so huge. If you look at John 10:18, it shows us how deep the love is in this freedom that it brings. See, He says that if he didn't die for us willingly, if He didn't choose to die, if He didn't choose the suffering, if he didn't embrace it, then how deep is it? If someone made Him go and do this, if someone made Him go to the cross and to die for us and do all these things, it's different. The love is, it's different. But He stresses, John 10:18, Jesus comes and says, look, I want you to know explicitly how much I love you, that this comes out of me, not out of circumstances that are around me, not out of pressure from those things around me, but out of what I long to do. So you see, look, John 10:18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. You see, He said, look, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Look, Jesus is saying, I loved you so much that I wanted to go do this. This is what I did for you. and the empty tomb changes everything. He says, I'm alive today. I really love you. I freely loved you because I freely gave my life for you. Nobody forced me to do it. Nobody forced me to do it. He loves us. He loves us so much. Maybe you're here this morning and the walls have been built up for so long and you struggle with figuring it out. The walls have been built up and you're struggling what to do. You need to find the peace. You need to find the hope that Jesus can bring. He's here to walk through the walls today. He'll walk through the walls today. He'll speak peace into your life. It's because, look, the tomb is empty. He's not there. He's here. He's here today. And because of Easter, we can have hope and new life. New life. So where are you? Maybe you've known Jesus for a while and some things, the walls have just been built up. And things are just in the way and you need to be refreshed and renewed this morning. You would like to be able to celebrate like they were celebrating a moment ago. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. You would like to be able to stand up and say, that's me. But you need to take a moment and pause and say, okay, God, I need that life in me today. Maybe you're on the other side and you would say, I don't even know this Jesus at all. I've been so far away, but I need to know that resurrecting power, that hope today. Hope. There's something what the scripture is saying that I need to have in my life this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.